Holy Spirit. A widely misunderstood subject. There is so much false, erroneous, and scriptural beliefs and practices relating to the Holy Spirit that place man's soul in eternal danger. Jesus Christ made it plain that in certain areas, if we sin against God, the word blaspheme is used, it will be forgiven. If we sin against the Son, it will be forgiven. But he said, if we sin against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. So it is important that we understand the subject of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not here claiming that anyone understands 100% of the Holy Spirit. Who can fathom God? Who has a monopoly on all the ways of the Godhead? No human being. But I'm here to tell you that enough is revealed about the Holy Spirit that we can have a fear and tangible and confident understanding in respect to the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God wants us to. The misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit relates to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It relates to speaking in tongues as a gift of the Holy Spirit. It relates to the measure of the Holy Spirit. It relates to the laying on of hands as it relates to the Holy Spirit. It relates to the and behavior of people who possess the Holy Spirit. There is a widespread belief out there that the Holy Spirit makes men and women act uncontrollable. It throws them down on the ground, it makes them walk on benches. If you sit close to me when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of me, I will knock you down and don't even know it. That's a widespread belief out there in the denominational world. We are hoping to look on all of this morning. Above all, we encourage members of the church to learn. Because in lessons like this, the Almighty God wants to equip you for better things. Now, the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit is not... Well, let me back up. You know, almost every preacher today, you talk with people in the Pentecostal so-called Church of God, the Holiness Group. Almost every church leader and member is baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, people read the Bible make a distinction, and so plainly, but they don't see the distinction. So first, up front, the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit was meant only for the apostles of Jesus Christ. Therefore, only the apostles of Christ, and God made the exception, the house of Cornelius, received that measure. Wait, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say only the apostles and the house of Cornelius received the Holy Spirit. Huh? We are talking about the baptismal measure. Huh? Not, in fact, I'm not even talking about the indwelling measure. Well, Brother Mitchell, is it different? Yes! We talk about the baptismal measure. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Those people who were baptized with or in the Holy Spirit. So the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit is not administered by man. State that another way, Brother Mitchell. It's not done by man. State that another way, Brother Mitchell. It's not carried out by man. That is the baptismal measure. God carry out that baptism. God performed that baptism. We perform water baptism. Man performed water baptism. We are the one who carry it out. Do it. Perform it. Not the Holy Spirit baptism. And the Bible makes this plain. How can people miss it? But you see, you are God's people, members of the... You are to know it. And you must not take it for granted. Can we turn to a few passages on this? Matthew 3:11. Mark 1:8. Let us hear.
Indeed, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
I, John, baptize you with what?
With water.
Brother Blake, usually water baptism is usually always carried out by man. So John said to his disciple, I truly baptize you with
water.
Read.
Unto repentance.
Unto repentance.
But he that cometh after me is mightier than I.
Jesus Christ, he who comes after me
is mightier than I.
Is mightier than I.
Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear.
Uh-huh.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Everybody gets that? Christ! Not me, John. In fact, not any man. Going to do the baptism or perform the one that involves the Holy Spirit. And also the one with fire. I don't want to talk about fire baptism today because God doesn't want you to experience that one. The Bible also makes it plain that the baptism of fire is referring to the overwhelming that we'll experience if we end up in hell. But as plain as the Bible makes that, men and women miss it. So you find thousands upon thousands of people all over the world praying for the baptism of fire. You know, ignorance is a terrible thing. You don't want that baptism. And God doesn't want anyone to experience that baptism either. But we are not. The emphasis here is not on the baptism. So here, John, making it plain that the baptism of the Holy Spirit would be done by Jesus Christ. Everybody gets it? Everybody gets it? I will do the one involving water. But the one involving the Holy Spirit will be done by the one who is mightier than I am. Huh? Let us hear Mark 1:8.
I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
You notice the distinction? Water baptism, John says. I do that. That is performed by man. The Holy Ghost baptism, that belongs to the divine. Christ will do that. This passage in the book of Acts 1:5.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Y'all get that? This is just a few hours before Jesus Christ was ascended. Huh? Read that again.
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
But you shall be baptized, you, my apostle, with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. In fact, I didn't intend to go on with this, but let us see where this was experienced. Acts chapter 2. Pick me up at the appropriate, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Quick, brother. I'm just dropping in that passage.
Wait.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
uh-huh,
they were all in one accord in one place.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven,
uh-huh,
as of a rushing mighty wind,
uh-huh,
and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Uh-huh.
Then there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire,
uh-huh,
and sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues.
Wait. May I? When you read the text, you notice that there was 120 people there in the upper room. I want you to notice this. But the 120 did not receive,
amen,
the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. So look now at verse 26 of chapter 1.
And they cast their lots, and the lots fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Matthias was numbered with the 11. Are we getting it? That's the end of chapter 1. Then chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they is referring to the 11 and Matthias. Are we getting it? You see, remember at that time, you know, when the book of Acts of the Apostles was written, it was not divided into chapter and verses. So you could actually read from chapter 1 right when and he was numbered with the 11. So it's still that 11 plus this one that are under consideration in verse 1 of chapter 2. Huh?
Yes.
And they were with one accord. They who? The 120? No! The 11 plus Matthias.
Verse 14.
Look at chapter. Look at verse 2.
Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
They again. Again, as we would say, the antecedent of they is the 11. Verse 3.
Then there appeared unto them.
Here again, this then is the 11 plus Matthias. Verse 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Again, the they who were all filled, that means they received the baptismal measure of the Holy Ghost, is referring to the 11 plus Matthias. Are we there?
Yes.
Good brother. Verse 14 will clarify. But may I? You know what I noticed? When a person wants to be ignorant, it doesn't matter how God makes it plain. So verse 14 and verse 132 going to make it plain. Let us hear verse 14.
But Peter, standing up with the 11.
Some translations say, but Peter, standing up with
the 11.
Doesn't that count right, brother?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
You see how that agrees with chapter 1, the last verse, and chapter 2, the first verse? But Peter, standing up
with
the
11.
The 119.
With the 11.
Huh? Isn't the Bible plain? Everybody gets that? Everybody gets that. So the emphasis is the 11 plus the 1, and that is always making 12. Huh? But Peter standing up with not the 120. But Peter standing up with the
11.
11. Read.
Raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known unto you, and take heed of my words.
Now look at verse 37.
And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles.
They said to Peter
and the rest of the apostles.
Everybody get that? You know, in most cases, if we laugh and take our own false religious way and end up in hell, you can't blame God. And you know what? You can't blame Patrick City Church of Christ either. That's right. Isn't that plain? All the emphasis you see in the passage is the 11 plus 1. 11 plus 1. They are the one who experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get it? So let us move on now. The baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit was experienced only by the apostles of Jesus Christ and the house of Cornelius. I may get back to Cornelius as the lesson progresses. But there's so much to cover. Okay? So the baptismal measure was never meant for ordinary Christians. It was meant only for the apostles. And part of the purpose of the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit was to guide them in all truth, to enable them to write the gospel, the New Testament. At that time, the New Testament was not yet written. They needed that extra power from the Holy Spirit to bring back to their memory things Jesus Christ taught them. And that is why we have now the authentic New Testament, the authentic gospel. That's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The witness by miraculous work, the work of the apostles. We may say more on that. Brothers and sisters, learn this too. That we have just looked at the fact, and I could say much more on it. In fact, further on, I'm going to show you that because of the baptismal measure which the apostle received, there are miraculous work the apostle of Christ could do, which no ordinary Christian could or can do today, because of this measure. And the Bible is going to make that plain. But before we go to that, let us look at the fact that the Holy Spirit is given by measure. What does that imply, Brother Mitchell? Everybody does not get the same amount of influence, the same amount of power of the Holy Spirit working on you. Everybody does not get the same. Who determines that? The God of heaven. So first, let us look at St. John chapter 3, verse 34. And somebody have Ephesians 4 ready. Let us have it. Wait. So the second thing I put here, Holy Spirit given by measure. That means the Almighty God places limit upon which or by which the Holy Spirit acts upon or influence different men and women. Listen it now. Jesus Christ speaking.
For he whom God has sent speaketh.
Or John, whichever, read.
For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God.
Uh-huh.
For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Everybody gets it? One day to see the implication. The passage is talking about Jesus Christ. And the passage tells us that this special person whom God has sent, the Almighty God, does not give the Holy Spirit by measure to him. But what does that say, Brother Mitchell? This is implying that the Holy Spirit is given by measure to other people. Plain as day. That's right. God did not limit the power, the working, the influence of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus Christ. Can you word that another way, Brother Mitchell? Yes. The power, the influence of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus Christ was unlimited. But the power, the influence of the Holy Spirit upon Peter, Paul, John, name them, it was limited. With all the miracles that they performed, the influence of the Holy Spirit upon them was given by measure. The Almighty God has had limit upon which the Holy Spirit worked with the apostles, but not with Christ. The influence was there and limited. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4, verse 7.
Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
You all hear that? Is given grace according to what?
The measure of the gift of
the
Christ.
The word measure means limit. You see, God works within a limit upon which that grace is given. It is not a wholesale thing where everybody gets the same amount. Huh? You all get it? Now, get this too. Well, let me move. I was about to point out that faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to the gospel are the primary goal and aim and objective of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Are we there? The Holy Spirit was not given to Christians for excitement, or ego trip. That's right. Everybody wants to speak in tongues. Because you see, tongue speaking is an exhibitionist gift. So you don't hear people praying that they get the gift of faith. You don't hear Pentecostal telling you that every Christian must have the gift of discerning a spirit. But they do teach that every Christian must speak in tongues. That's right. That's what they think. If you do not speak in tongues, the Pentecostals say it shows that something is wrong with your relationship with God. Well, let me tell them, if every one of them speak in tongues, it shows that something is wrong with their religion. Because Paul asked the question in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. And it seems to me, my God, they have never read that passage. May I? Now, did I say that the Holy Spirit is given by measure? So we have A. The baptismal measure. We have B. The miraculous measure. We have C. The indwelling measure. Everybody can read that? Beautiful writing as it is. Okay, here I underline measure. That's the emphasis. That the Holy Spirit is given by measure. The Bible has just stated it. Now, we have the three measures of the Holy Spirit. It's the baptismal measure. Experienced only by the apostles of Christ and the house of Cornelius. Since Cornelius experienced that baptismal measure, no man or woman has been baptized in the Holy Spirit since. None. None. Wait. I didn't know the Church of Christ not believe in the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that nobody received the Holy Spirit since. We are talking about a particular measure, the baptismal measure. This measure received only by the apostles of Christ. I can put that another way. It was experienced by the apostles of Christ and the house of Cornelius in the first century. of Christianity, nobody's sins has experienced measure. Okay? Now, these three measures. May I start first? I dealt with this already, haven't I? The baptismal measure, received only by the apostles of Christ. I'll be picking up a little more on that. But let us now look at the indwelling measure. Brothers and sisters, learn this. It means exactly that. Where the Holy Spirit dwells or lives in the Christian. This measure is promised to all Christians. Huh? That's right. Every child, true child of God received this measure. Every true child of God received that measure. The indwelling measure. Where the Holy Spirit dwells with us. Let's look at a few passages now on the indwelling measure. Let us look at John 7, 38. I think 38 and 39. Quick. Acts 2, 38. Acts 5, 32. 1 John 3, 24. Romans 8, 9 through 11. Let us look at this.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water."
John 38:7, 38, 39.
That was 38. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified."
But this speak Jesus Christ of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That's not talking about the baptismal measure, but the ordinary indwelling measure. Let me move on to some other passage. Let us look at Acts 2:38 and chapter 5:32. Read.
Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ."
I want you to listen. Repent! Brothers and sisters, 3,000 people going to obey that command. Repent and get baptized. To whom was that said?
Everyone.
Men and women who believe the truth that was preached by Peter. I have to say, if you are in this audience believing that Jesus Christ died for you, and that if you do not accept Christ, you will end up in the eternal hell, the Almighty God is commanding you the same way. Repent and get baptized. Every one of you. Watch here now.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
On Christ's command or authority.
For the remission of sins.
Wait. Watch here. You are getting baptized for this reason. What it is? The removal of sin. Huh? That's what the word remission is.
And he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
You get the drift. Watch here now. You get baptized for the reason God attaches to you. The removal of sin. Watch here now. Your sins having been, help me here.
Removed,
you will receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. That's the indwelling measure. That's not miraculous. That's the indwelling that once you get your sins removed, the Holy Spirit is given to you same time. That's the promise here. Huh? That was Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38. Look now at Acts chapter 5 and verse 32.
And we are his witnesses of
these
things.
Listen carefully. Same indwelling. We are dealing with the same indwelling that is promised to all true Christians. You all get it? Remember, indwelling means what it says. He dwells in you. Who dwells in you? The Holy Spirit. From the very moment you get baptized and have your sins removed, that is a prerequisite for receiving the Holy Spirit. You must get baptized so that the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your soul and cleanse you. Then the Holy Spirit is given to you. So you get baptized, you're cleansed by the Almighty God through the blood of Christ right then and there. The Holy Spirit is given to you. Here Matthew is reading it from the book of Acts of the Apostles. It is chapter 5 and verse 32.
Yes.
Read now, brother, where you stop for.
And we are his witnesses.
We are his witnesses.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit is also God's witnesses, or Christ's witnesses.
Whom God has given to them.
The same Holy Spirit God gives to a particular group of men and women. Them that
obey him.
Everybody gets it? That is not talk about the baptismal measure. It is not even talking about the miraculous measure. It's talking about the indwelling. From the moment a man or a woman gets baptized, you are given the Holy Spirit as a gift from God. That's right. Let's look at one or two more passages on this measure. That was chapter 5. Look at Romans 8, 9 through 11. We're looking on the indwelling. What does it mean, Brother Mitchell? The Holy Spirit dwells or lives in the Christian. And the Holy Spirit is given to you from you get baptized, get all your past sins removed. Once through the blood of Jesus Christ, all your past sins have been removed. The Holy Spirit is given as a gift from God. And the Holy Spirit lives with you if you continue faithfully. Let us hear the passage. Where did I say?
But
Romans chapter 8 from verse
9
to 11.
But you are not in the flesh.
But you, the Christian, are not in the flesh. What does that mean, you are not in the flesh? We do not live according to the dictates of the physical man. In another place, you know, Paul is going to point out that we are in the flesh. And by that he simply means we are physical, we are mortal. When he says here you are not in the flesh, we do not live by the dictates of the physical man. The direction of our lives are changed if when we repent truly. So we now live according to the Spirit. Read again, brother.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
You see where the word indwell comes in? Paul says, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that means he is the one who is going to give direction to your life. That's right, because that's what becoming a Christian is about. You do not do the things you like just because you like it. You do not give way to the imagination if those imagination are contrary to the will of God. We always trying to exercise some restraint. Eh? That's what Christianity is about. We gladly yield to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Read, brother.
That the Spirit dwells in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Read that again.
No, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Read that again.
No, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
May I show you something here? Let me show you contradiction with just false. So-called church, holiness group. Watch here. They tell you that you get baptized. We are now in May. You get baptized January, February. You get baptized from February. And they tell you to tarry. For the past 2 months you are tarry. They are telling you to tarry for the baptismal measure. Now, it means that while they accept you as Christian, and while they say you are children of God, God is saying, during that time when you are without the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible has just stated it there. Read it again, my brother.
No. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
You see the other side to the coin? That means from the very moment you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit is given to you. Because that is a sign from God that you are a child of God. If you do not possess the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to God. You are not a Christian. You are not a child of God. You are not cleansed. You are not a part of God's family. I'm not the one who says it, but I believe it and I accept it. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to God. Which means you are not a Christian. And God says it. Where the brother is reading from? Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Everybody gets it? Wait. But it comes right back to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 30. Repent and get baptized for the removal of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It comes right back to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Are we there? Verse 32. That the Holy Spirit is given to them who become obedient to Jesus Christ. So remember, when people tell you that they are tarrying, tarrying for what? The Holy Spirit? Are you a Christian? Yes. Well, as long as you tarry for the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to God. You are not a child of God. Can we look at one more passage or two more? 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Wait. You see how we get indwelling? Everybody is there. You see how we get indwelling? That means our body is not the building here that holds the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in the Christian. What? Paul is saying to the Christian. You don't know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And what he was doing here is showing the Christian that the Christian cannot use his or her body for sinful practices. We all get it? You don't get it? That is what under consideration, that the Holy Spirit lives in our body. And for that reason, we cannot use the temple of the Holy Ghost for sinful practices. Are we there? So this is how we get indwelling. He dwells in us. Who? He who? The Holy Spirit. Finish the verse.
Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
You all hear that? You see, it's the old idea that we were purchased from the slave, mark it as sin. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. Look at Galatians. Well, look at Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Quick. All of these passages are talking about the ordinary measure, the indwelling measure. Wait, Brother Mitchell, you confuse me. You used two terms there. You talk about the ordinary, and you talk about the indwelling. Same thing. The ordinary measure of the Holy Spirit, which every Christian receives, does not give us the power or ability to do miracles. Read Titus.
Not by works of righteousness which he have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Wait, what does this renew? It means that as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Holy Spirit is carrying out renovation, renewing. Day by day, if we live by the word, the Holy Spirit is making us more Christ-like. But you know what? The Holy Spirit works through the word. That's why the word is called the sword of the Spirit. It is the weapon or the instrument which the Holy Spirit uses and carrying out the renewing day by day. Look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Let us hear it.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy,
peace. Wait. All of this is dealing with the indwelling, the ordinary measure, which is the indwelling measure. Watch here now. What does that have to do with the fruit of the Spirit, Brother Mitchell? When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, notice what the Christ-like qualities that we will produce. Are we all there? Notice the Christ-like qualities that we will produce. The Holy Spirit will day by day, as the Holy Spirit renew us and make us more Christ-like, as we walk in the light, day by day, the fruit of the Spirit
is love.
Love, we will be more loving.
Joy.
And considerate. Love.
Joy.
Wait. Wait, let me. Because last year will last all year if I. Yes. Love.
Joy.
That is a part of the what the Spirit produced, brother.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. That's why, brother, the Holy Spirit gives us joy from within. Yes, we do have our ups and downs. Yes, we do meet upon our challenges that sometimes bring tears to the eyes. Yes, we do sometimes lose night rest because of challenges. But we do not go around every day with a long face. Because the Holy Spirit does bring joy to our lives. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, you find that instead of we are hateful, bitter, destructive people, we backbite, we are jealous, we are envious. Instead of that, we are more loving. When a brother or sister have reason to rejoice, it gives us reason to rejoice. When a brother or sister have reason to shed tears, we don't go one side and rejoice because they are crying. We cry too. These are the qualities that the Holy Spirit, love, joy,
peace.
Wait. You know people, I know people, and I'm sure, people who are just contentious, worried, if they are not at contention with somebody, they don't feel good. If they are not doing something to hurt somebody, they don't feel good. These quality should tell you that the Holy Spirit is not in you. Huh? Because your whole bent in life is to be at peace. Mark you, not at any price. Huh? Huh? You're not going to be mischievous. Peace.
Long suffering.
Wait. Christian? Suffer long? Yes. When situation comes in your life that brings suffering, the Almighty God will give us the strength to deal with them. And when we face upon things that we feel is too much for us, what we need to do is beg God for strength. Because He will give the strength. So much so that sometimes when you get through that issue, that problem, that challenge, and look back, you wonder, how did I go through that? But for the help of God. Long-suffering, joy.
Gentleness.
You will be gentle. That's your bent, to be gentle towards all. There are times when different people dictate that gentleness is not for them. But your whole bent in life is to be gentle. If my memory serves me right, if the word gentle is from the Greek word which describes a domesticated animal. An animal that has been tamed, you can deal with it. Read on.
Goodness.
Faith.
Meekness.
Wait. Meekness is not... Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Meekness means that you are teachable. You are approachable. Read on.
Temperance.
Self-control. Wait. You get it again? One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit living in us is self-control. It covers a lot of area. But people who tell you that when the Holy Spirit takes them in worship, that's how comes they knock off your glasses and your wig and they didn't know. They couldn't control themselves. They are lying on the Holy Spirit. Because one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, when He lives in you, He helps you to be in control of self. That's the idea of the word temperance. Read.
Against such there is no law.
Stop there, brother. You all get it? Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry that time, God, Lord have mercy. You know, I thought within a 40 minutes I would fly through the lesson. But tell me what, we have to end here. I have not yet shown you that there are things the apostle could do that no other Christian, the ordinary Christian in the first century, in our time, could not do. The Bible is going to make that plain. I'm going to ask the brother to read a particular passage for me, the same passage that Brother Gilbert read. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8.
Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem...
I want you to listen to this. Read.
When the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God.
Heard that people in Samaria became Christians.
They sent unto them Peter and John.
They sent unto them two apostles. Watch here.
Who? When they were come down.
When these two apostles came from Jerusalem to Samaria.
Prayed for them.
They prayed for them.
That they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, He was not fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
You get this? We need to spend a little more time on this lesson, and I'm going to save it for next week Sunday. Do you understand what measure it is talk about here? Here are some people in Samaria who were Christian. Yet the apostles had to be sent down there to give them a particular measure of the Holy Spirit that they had not yet received. But Brother Mitchell, you told us that once you become a Christian, you receive the indwelling. Yes. So which of the measure is it that they did not receive that the apostle had to go down? There is much to learn from this. Much to learn from this. Now, I have been discussing with Pentecostal, and the root to this passage to prove to me that it is the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit that is under consideration. Come Sunday and bring others. There are thousands upon thousands of men out there that misunderstand completely the Holy Spirit, how He relates to us today, who have what measure and who does not. Put out some effort to get somebody with you next Sunday if God is willing. We want to look then on what spirit make men and women act uncontrollably. We want to look on the fact that they are definite things, the apostles, miraculous things, the apostles of Jesus Christ could do, which no other Christian was able to do. We want to examine what measure of the Holy Spirit is under consideration here. And how do we know? So don't miss the rest of this lesson. But today, you can become a child of God and have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. How long does He dwell in you, Brother Mitchell? As long as you live the Christian life and remain faithful to God. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you that helps you to live the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you that helps you to understand the Word as you study the Bible daily. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you that helps to encourage you and strengthen you. That is called the indwelling, but it is an ordinary measure. It is not the miraculous measure, and it is not the baptismal measure. So we are inviting everyone to come next week Sunday, if God is willing, and learn some more about God's Word. Right now, you have learned enough to become a child of God. Remember what was told to the people in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. When they heard the message of God from Peter, they asked, what must we do? They believed that there was a God. They have just been taught that Jesus Christ went to Calvary for their sins. They wanted to know what they should do about that. They were told, since they believe in the truth preached by Peter, they were told to repent, get baptized. Why get baptized? For the removal of their sin. Their sins having been removed, they would receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. That can happen to you today if you will obey Jesus Christ as we stand.